Welcome to the Flutracy Money Audio Commentary. This is the Wintracy recording at 2:05 in that specific summer time, and today is August 9th. And of course, this has been another rather interesting day in stock markets, and not least because of what the kind of developments that we've had in Europe. The DAX today was up over 2.5%, and that is pulling away now from the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's breaking, coming very close to breaking the more than year-long progression of lower rally highs. And of course, the DAX index is a total return index, so its performance does tend to be flattered by the fact that the dividends are rolled up into the index. Nevertheless, this is a rather standout performance when you compare it particularly to some of the southern European indices, but they were up in positive territory today as well. And it does help to bolster the view that continued money printing has the expected effect of raising asset prices. It's an altogether different argument whether it does anything to boost GDP growth, but we have plenty of evidence that these types of extraordinary monetary conditions do help to inflate asset prices. And that would suggest then that Europe has catch-up potential, at least in nominal terms, but the euro is also reasonably steady, and therefore Europe could be potentially attractive to foreign investors. But of course, one should be more of a cherry picker in terms of looking at Europe because of the problems that are outstanding there, and to concentrate on those types of companies that are going to benefit regardless of what happens in terms of the euro. Because Germany, of course, in particular, has got a very large export sector and a large number of companies that have got very large global footprints. So that is also part of the reason that Germany is outperforming. The Nikkei was also stronger in here today. And of course, Japan is engaged in both monetary and fiscal stimulus, and the Nikkei is climbing back towards that 17,000 level, which has been an area of previous resistance, and it does need to sustain a move above it to confirm that demand is back in dominance beyond the short term. Now, the Chinese market, which is also in the region of the moving average, was stronger by a similar margin, up about 0.7%. The Australian index was in positive territory. The Canadian index continues to extend its advance. And generally speaking, what we can say is that the commodity-related markets, and not least those that have got an oil focus, have returned to positions of outperformance because of the bounce that we've had in energy prices. And despite the fact that both Brent and WTI were in slightly negative territory today, that has done nothing to dim the prospects for commodity-related markets. In the precious metal markets in here today, then, gold was up a bit. It's up to 1340. And silver is continuing to hover around this $20 area. And you know, when we look at exactly what it is that is supporting the precious metal markets, then one of the reasons, of course, is that they are comparatively cheap relative to their respective highs. But perhaps more important is that we're in an era of financial repression. And this is not news, of course, but it is a trend of further intensification, that central banks have got mountains of debt, and they are going to create a market for their securities. So they've already insisted that both banks and insurance companies hold more Tier 1 capital. And of course, they define what Tier 1 capital is. And they also have the privilege of describing their own bonds, their own debt, as risk-free, when, of course, it is anything but. But in fact, that's a risible argument, because governments can print as much and many bonds as they want, and they can decide that banks, insurance companies, and money market funds increasingly have to buy them, and then they can redeem or they can pay back those bonds that in whatever currency, or what in the value of the currency, is the determining factor. And then that is one of the reasons for owning gold. You can't simply loan it into existence. And that is also part of the reason that precious metal related instruments have been doing better. Well, then we have not seen major performance by the precious metals in the last 6 weeks. They've been engaged in a process of consolidation, which is allowing the mean to catch up to the rather explosive action that we had in the previous few months. And this is really the first big consolidation in the context of what looks like a new medium-term bull market. So then this is the... I think we're being presented with an opportunity to accumulate with the view that we could see additional upside. And it is interesting that we are now in August. And I wonder, does anyone else remember that in the decade when gold prices posted 10 consecutive years of positive performances, that they did go through lengthy periods of ranging, and that then we were getting breakouts in Septembers. Well, today's the 9th of August. It's really not that far away from September, and it'll be interesting to see whether we get back into that kind of environment where people come back from holiday and look around and say, what is it that they would like to own and settle on gold? So I suspect that this is going to be an interesting market over the next couple of months, and perhaps more interesting than it has been for the last couple of months. Today in here as well, the bond markets were a little bit firmer. The long bond in the US was up almost a full point, but it was a generally firm day on bonds. And Wall Street is closing out the day in mildly positive territory. Both the Dow and the S&P were pretty much unchanged, and the Nasdaq was up about 0.25%. One thing that is interesting is that the VIX index is very low. It is pretty close to its historic lows. And then what it does look like is that I saw some news item to the effect that hedge funds are not loading up on volatility protection because they anticipate that this breakout in Wall Street is going to be sustained. But what we also know is that these volatility measures don't stay at very depressed levels indefinitely. And it is, of course, worth pointing out.